think whatever they got is great and awesome and marvelous and wonderful and all those things, but can I tell you there's nothing that tops what we've got. Amen? One of these old preachers used to say all the time, if I had what some people had in their religion, I'd trade it for a mule and I'd shoot the mule. Amen? I'm telling you, there's nothing that's in a lot of this stuff. It's just fluff and rite and ritual and all of that, but thank God for salvation. Amen? And that only comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've been studying on the life of David, and we've been trying to go through the entirety of the king's life, and we've made it. I mean, I know my wife was telling me the other day, she looked back, and I don't know, it's been a little over a year that we've been into this study, so that is that's about what it takes, though, for us to get through all of these things. It is 40, I think I've got it numbered as 45 different studies that we have been in, and number 45 tonight. So, and then with revivals and going to different churches and those kind of things, it's taken us a little over a year to get through that. And you know, somebody said, "What are you going to do next?" Well, I'm not sure, but we'll find something that we'll go into with a little depth. But I think these things are good for us as a church, and they're good for us as students in the Word of God. And this one, we've gone all the way through, basically, 1 and 2 Samuel. And now, tonight, we'll wind it up in 1 Kings. 1 Kings. And I don't know if your Bible is like my Bible, but it does say in the book of 1 Kings, it says commonly called the third book of Kings, because they have named 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then this was called the book of the third book of Kings. But we're still going to stay with the traditional. We'll be in 1 Kings, if you will, then. Chapter number 1, just to kind of finish that up, there's 53 verses here, but we will get a little bit over into chapter number 2. Let's just read a little bit, if you will, with me, and see what is going on in this section of the story. It starts out and says in verse number 1, "Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. Wherefore his servants said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let him cherish her, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zohelah, which is in Rogel, and called his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servant." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us tonight with this good word of God and the study that we've enjoyed. I pray now just be a blessing in all these things that we do study, and let us honor you and give you praise and thanks and worship for everything that you're doing. We thank you again for showing us the things you've shown us, for opening the scriptures up to us, for showing us the history and the story and the prophecy of the Lord Jesus tonight. And I pray, just give us wisdom, give us something that we can build our hearts and our lives on through it, and we'll just give you praise for that tonight. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I want you to look at this tonight, and we'll just simply call this David's legacy. We'll just call it David's legacy, because that's what we're getting into here at the very end. You're headed into the very end of this thing. And if you'll notice in chapter number 2, it says in verse number 1 of chapter number 2, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying." And then it goes on from there telling you some things that David told Solomon as he got ready to assume the kingship. But we've got to get there. So let's look at David's legacy. Now David is, the man that we've said, a man after God's own heart, the man that is the sweet psalmist of Israel. He is the man that has done for most of his life what's right in the sight of God. There's been some things, and hey, I mean, let's just admit it, David was just a man like the rest of us. He was the man after God's own heart, but he was a human, and he was apt to fail and get into messes just like the rest of us. Amen? He had some problems in his life. So David has come through a lot of things. You know, we've studied all of them practically. And as we get to this point in his life, David, the Bible says, is old and stricken in years. So let's just look at David and see, you know, where all of this really has come from. And we'll just start it out here in this section. We'll just call it a dying monarch. A dying martyr. I mean, David is an old man at this point in his life, and we don't know exactly how old. He's probably close to 80 years old, but he's an old man at this time, and he has been the ruler over the people of Israel. So let's look at that. Let's talk about, first of all, the days of the king. The days of the king. David has been in the kingship, and the numbers that we get out of the Bible says he's been in his place of reign over the people of Israel for 40 years. 40 years David has filled the office of the kingship. And, you know, that's a significant Bible number in the fact that whenever you see a 40 in your Bible, always think of testing. Always think of God's testing in a man's life. And certainly these days and these years of David's reigning over Israel have been some times of testing. David has been there, and David has come through the rough time. David has fought the battles, the physical battles, the spiritual battles, and some battles within himself. David's fought those battles, and he's come through here at the end, and he wants to leave something behind because he loves these people that God's put him in charge of, and he wants to leave them something at least as well and mostly better behind than what they've already had. And isn't that the way that anybody wants to do? I trust that any politician that had any gumption and desire and right-mindedness about it, that's the way they'd want to leave their country when it comes time for them to go, right? So David here has had his days. And I want you to look, if you will, over in chapter number 2 again. Look in chapter number 2. We'll refer to that several times, but I want you to look in verse number 11. It says, "And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem." So if you'll remember, at the beginning of David's reign, that was after the death of Saul, and you know, he'd been anointed from a child, he'd been anointed by God to be the king over Israel. And it took all of these years, and that's probably upwards of 20-something and maybe up to 30 years, that David had to wait until this time to be put into the kingship. And when he did, he began this thing by reigning in Hebron. That was because of one of Saul's sons that was still over, trying to be over the kingship of the rest of the land, and David's trying to be installed, and there's war and there's conflict, and we've been through all of that. But that's the way that it's been in David's life. There's always been something there that's been an obstacle. Whether it was an enemy, whether it was an internal strife, whether it was his own family, or whether it was he himself. There was always some kind of battle going on with David. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it means this. You and I have the same problems that David had. We're going to run into some adversaries on the outside. We're going to run into some adversaries on the inside. And sometimes we are our own worst enemy and adversary, right? Those things are going to happen to all of us, and David has faced them all. But David has come through, and he's developed his kingship. He has been the king over the whole land of Israel now for these 33 plus his 7 years in Hebron. So for 40 years, David has been the king. So you see the days of the king. But second of all, I want you to notice here we see the decline of the king. The Bible tells us that David is an old man, and he was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but they just couldn't get his body and core temperature up. He walked around, and he is an old man, and he was freezing to death. Amen? I mean, does that kind of sound familiar to us? I mean, as you get older, and I'm not making fun of anybody, I'm just saying, isn't that the way that we normally do? You can't get warmed up enough. I mean, I'm honest with you. That's the way most of us are, right? We get in. Now, if you get a little fat on your body, hey, man, you might warm up. That's when people pick on me. I say, well, you know, I got to get on my winter coat. So, but King David apparently didn't have his with him. So here's David, and as I say, he's an older king. He's in that place of declining, failing health. And, you know, the very best that any of us can do, we're going to get there. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, throughout your Bible, you're going to see where the scriptures tell us that, you know, here's any man you want to pick, Abraham. And you know what? And he died. And you can look at Moses, and he died, being 120 years old. You can look at any of the great men you want to look at in the Word of God, and they died. I mean, and here's King David. Now, David died a different death than what his predecessor Saul had died. Saul was in the battle. Saul was out of the will of God. Saul was in a place of displeasing the Lord. And God just had him to die on the battlefield in a sort of a disgraceful way. You remember how the Philistines cut his head off and killed his sons and took all of their stuff and tacked it up on the wall and made a kind of a trophy room out of it and made fun of them and made light and sport of them and finally, some of David's men went down there and they rescued all of that stuff and brought it back and gave him a decent burial. Well, that was the way that Saul died. David's going to die in a little bit more dignant kind of manner, but yet he's going to die. So you see the days of the king, you see the decline of the king, and I want you to see this decision for the king. It's almost, you know, just a little bit, I know it's a little touchy and almost a little, you know, I'm not trying to be crude or lewd, but you see what it says, that David has no body heat, so they figure the thing that's got him through the rest of his life, let's go find him a woman, right? Well, guess what? That ain't working now. It said, let there be sought for my lord the king, a young virgin. Let her stand before the king. Let her cherish him. Let him lie in his bosom. You know, so on and so forth. I mean, that's worked for him all the other times. Well, guess what? He's got to a point in his life that's not what he's needing, and that's not what's going to work, and that's not what's going to help him at this time of his life. David has had how many wives and how many concubines and how many women and how many things have gone on. Hey, brother, let me tell you something. You might think during your life, oh, this is what, you know, what I want and where I'm going. Hey, it may come a time when it just don't work anymore. Amen. Where those things will not be exactly what you need. And you realize that you're staring right down the barrel of death. And I believe David knew that. David understood where he was, and David knew that he had to do something, as I say, to leave behind his legacy. So David is planning in his mind what he's already mentioned before, but he really hadn't made an announcement to the kingdom about what's going on. So second of all, let's look at this. Let's talk about a divisive menace. a divisive ministry. Look what it says there in verse number 5. It says, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And look what it says in verse number 6. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. So you see that he is a son of the king. He is a goodly man. He is a fellow that is probably in line for the kingship. But brother, he's not the man that God has his hand on. And I want to tell you something. Isn't that the way that this world works? And I'm telling you, I know in this day that David lived, in that day, when they were there, it was that sort of thing. And I'm telling you, what they would do mostly is when somebody else would take over the throne from whoever, they would, first of all, get rid of any competition that may be there to come up against them. And so you'll see here just a little bit on, later on, that Nathan, the prophet, comes to Bathsheba and she says, hey, he says to her, you better get ready because this thing could get ugly and you and your son both could be dead or in prison or banished from the kingdom or whatever it may be. There's something that's bad that could be coming your way. So here's a fellow that says, hey, you know what? I'll be king. I'm going to choose and I'm going to... And can I tell you, every other time in this book, when that thing has happened during this course of history, it's always turned out in a bad way. And so here is a fellow by the name of Adonijah, and he has prepared himself to be king. I want you to notice this first of all. Notice his exaltation. It said in verse 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. Oh, he lifted himself up and he said, I will be the king. I'm going to claim the kingship. I'm going to take over the rule. David's about gone. David's about out of the way. And I am going to be the man to take his place. He began to pump himself up. And as a matter of fact, you see how that he prepared himself. It says, I'll be the king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And then, as a matter of fact, what else does he do? Look there in verse number 7. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. I mean, he's getting some big shots to back him now. Boy, doesn't that sound like a political campaign right there? Somebody say amen. That's what that is. And here he is. He is trying to exalt himself. He said, if I get enough people behind me, if I get the right people behind me, if I get myself into my place, then, hey, I'm going to take this thing over and I will be the king. Now, the only thing he's left out is that he hadn't even consulted, talked to, or talked about the Lord in any of this. It's all his own self-exaltation. Second of all, I want you to notice his presentation. If you'll notice, as in verse number 9, look what it says. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is in Rogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. He's called everybody together and said, hey, let's gather up. We're about to have coronation day, and I am going to be crowned as the king of Israel. He's exalted himself. He's lifted himself up. He's put himself up into a place. I mean, and now he's making this presentation, and it's like he's making it to the society folks, the high-ups, the muckety-muck. I mean, he just brought himself on in and said, I'm going to be king, y'all. Let's have a big party. And let's celebrate. And that's what they're planning on doing. But I want you to notice this. I want you to notice there comes a condemnation that falls upon him. Look in verse number 11, or verse number 10. It says, but Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Wherefore, Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David and say unto him, did thou not, my Lord, O King, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me and shall sit upon my throne. And why then doth Adonijah reign? And he said, and behold, while thou talkest there with the king, I will also come in after thee and confirm thy word. So, hey, but they've got to do something to condemn this action that's going on. And Nathan comes up with a plan, and he begins to present this plan. He begins to show what, you know, what needs to be done. And, man, I'm telling you, they've got to get it together. Because if they don't, it's going to get out of their hand. And let me just tell you something. You say, well, preacher, what's the big deal? It'd just be some political fight, and you know, it'd just be some little skirmish, and somebody wins. I want to tell you something. This is the entirety of the character of God that is going to be on display at this point. Now, I don't know what Adonijah would have done. I don't know what kind of king. I don't have a clue. But I can tell you this, it wouldn't have been within the will of God. And the will of God was to bring Jesus Christ into their lineage and through the lineage of all of these people that we're seeing. And we wouldn't have that if we get off track. Can I tell you, if we get off track with God, you know, a lot of folks say, well, it just don't matter what happens in our church, or it don't matter if we forget to do this, or if we, you know, just bypass that, or go over and change our thoughts and everything. Let me tell you something. You and I better stay within the will and the purposes of God if we want the church to flourish here in this world. Amen? I mean, you got to get with God's program. And when you begin to think we can just do it any old way, we can do it. That's what's got us where we are today. Amen. That's what's got us in the situation we're in presently. We've got folks that say, well, just anything, any way, anyhow you want to do it, just turn up the lights. Turn out the lights, turn up the music, have a big smoke show, and let somebody get up there and just do hoo-ha. Brother, that ain't what God said do, is it? God's looking for some folks to come and do some things in some godly ways. And God's looking for some worship and some exactness and some obedience and some direction. And that's what we've got to do. So these guys have come to this place. And Nathan, boy, aren't you glad for Nathan the prophet? Nathan's the one that stuck his finger in David's face when David committed sin with Bathsheba and said, you're the guy. God don't like what you've done. And he's come and he's given wise counsel. He's given godly counsel. He's given godly direction toward David in everything that he did. And boy, I'm thankful for that. We need that. Can I tell you? I need that. I need somebody to help me sometimes. I need somebody to pray for me. I need somebody to you know, if God is in some things, hey, I need to know. And brother, I need to get on my face, and I need to get in His Word, and I need to hear from Him. And that's what every one of us need, is that we hear from the Lord Himself. And again, if you'll notice, that's what Adonijah has not done. He just made a decision, and he's going forward on the trip of execution. So look at this. This is the last part of it, and we'll get through this with the remainder part of the chapter. But I want you to notice a determined move. A determined move. There is a determined move that comes from what God has said, what God, as I say, has planned, and what God wants to put into motion. So look what it says here in verse number 15, it says, and Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber. And the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou? And she said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon the throne. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And then she begins to tell what he's done. He's gone out. He's having this big party. And he's wanting to be. But, you know, Solomon wasn't called in and invited to it. Is there a reason for that? Well, sure there is. Because Adonijah knows that Solomon should be the rightful king. And so anyway, she's making her case. In verse 22, and lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? For he has gone down this day and has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of the host and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save the king Adonijah. But me, even thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy son Solomon, thy servant Solomon, hath he not called? Is this thing done by my lord the king, that thou hast not shown it in thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? And then David said, hey, call me Bathsheba. He said, bring Bathsheba back in here, and let's straighten this out. Amen. I wonder if you've noticed, and here just through what these two have done, you notice their wisdom. Their wisdom is to come in and get the king and get his attention in this thing. And they bring it to David and said, now, we understand you're still the king. Is this what you want? Amen. Can I tell you, that's a good thing for me and you to ask the Lord, you're the king, is this what you want? Sometimes, you know, we try to act within ourselves. We try to act by ourselves. And let me tell you, hey, anybody can do that. Even us preachers sometimes can do it. But you know what? We're not right with God when we do that. We do not please the Lord. We're not in a place of obedience when we try to act within ourselves. And that's why sometimes in our Christian lives, it's difficult to make some decisions and do some things because we need some wisdom when we come before the Lord, and we want to know about the wisdom that God can give to us. So you see the wisdom here of Bathsheba and Nathan. They don't come in, you know, fussing and raring and carrying on, but they do come in and say, now look, king, they just bring it to his attention. But I do want you to notice this. You remember when we read back here in verse number 5, it said, Adonijah say exalted himself, saying, I'll be king. Verse number 6, it says, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? David is still having some problems with correction for his children. I mean, he's still, if you know, that's what caused all the problems with Absalom. It was a lack of discipline. I mean, there was that daughter that was raped by one of her stepbrothers, whatever, one of her brothers, and then Absalom killed him, and, you know, all the mess that ensued after that. Hey, you know what all that resulted? That resulted from bad parenting. And if you think being a parent ain't a big deal, it is. And if you think being a Christian and following the Lord ain't a big deal, it is. And it's all wound up in this stuff that we're reading right here. There's a lot in here that you and I need to pay attention to understand that God is still in control of everything that goes on. He's still in charge of the church, amen? I'm glad of that, amen? I'm glad we can look to him. So you see the wisdom of Bathsheba and Nathan. But I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the work of King David. Begin reading with me. Now, they come to him and they say, you know, is this what you want? And look at verse 28. Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came in the king's presence, stood before the king. And the king sware and said unto, and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. David said, I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going to take care of it right now. And look what it says in verse number 32. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. And the king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord and cause Solomon to ride, my son, to ride upon mine own mule and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. And blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Amen. I mean, David's back in control and said, this is what's happening, and I'm behind it, and I'm going to assure that it gets done. And boy, that's what you need. You need some decisive, definite move. Do you see what David said? David said, this is my appointment, and I want the anointment to go on Solomon. This is the appointing of me and the anointing of the kingship. When that's done, buddy, he's sealed in as the king over Israel. And you see that all of that begins to get into play, and it happens. Verse 36, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen, the Lord God of my lord the king say so too. As the Lord hath been with my lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and called Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. I want you to realize that you see this a lot of times, and we've seen it back in the time when Absalom was you know, coming up against David and all that. And you see a mule that's involved. A mule, a mule, a mule. You say, what in the world? All this mule stuff. Royalty rode mules. That was, and that sounds funny, doesn't it? I was studying on this, and I ran across that, and I thought, what? Why do I, you know, I'm like, get you a big old white, big old stallion horse and just go prancing, riding a mule? But that's exactly what kings were meant to do. And then all of a sudden, I thought, what happened in the New Testament? What did Jesus tell his disciples? He said, I want you to go down and find the colt of an ass. In other words, go find me this little mule and whereon no man has ever ridden, and bring him to me. And if they ask you, just tell them why. If they ask you why you do it, because the Lord hath need of him. And they bring this colt, this small mule to Jesus, and Jesus rides him into the city of Jerusalem. What does that mean? That's when people start throwing the palm leaves and all, and crying Hosanna and all that. And when all of that happens, you know what that is? And we call it, and there's even Palm Sunday, and you know, we've got all the ideas from the Bible and all that. But that's the triumphant entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. But can I tell you, that's when the king is coming. I mean, that's the absolute picture of the king of the people of Israel. The king rode a mule. And Jesus rode that one that no one had ever ridden on. He rode him into the city. Amen. What was he doing? He was announcing the king is here. Do you see what David was doing? David said, when they see him on my mule, they'll know that he's the king. You remember what happened to Absalom out there? He's going through the woods when the fight's going on, and he's riding that mule that was David's. And you know what? That long hair of his got tangled up in the tree limbs, and the mule went on. The mule came out from under him. And now look, David said, get my mule. The one Absalom tried to hijack. The one that Adonijah would like to be riding on. And put Solomon, because Solomon is the king. And praise God for that. Ain't you glad the mule's got the right rider on him here now? So this is the work that King David is doing right now. He is working this thing and saying, this is what will happen according to the reigning monarch, who is David. He said, this is what I want to happen. And it's amazing to me that, you know, you think about this, but how in the world did all this get into its place where David has got all of this thought in it? Why in the world is he even thinking about Solomon and why Solomon is being the king? I want you to jump over, if you will, over to 1 Chronicles. Now, you got to jump 1st, 2nd Kings, jump into 1 Chronicles. Go to chapter number 22. And in 1 Chronicles, there's a lot of retelling of the stories we've already read about David. But why don't you go to chapter number 22. Chapter number 22. And this is where David is preparing all of the good things. He's not going to be able to build the house of God, but he's preparing those things for that. Okay? And you'll notice verse number 1, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And then he begins to put together all the stuff. Verse 3, David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates, for the joinings, and brass in abundance, and cedar trees in abundance, and the Zidonians, and they of Tyre bought much cedar with David. So on and so forth. All of that's going on. Look in verse number 8. But the word of the Lord came to me. This is David. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, now this is God talking to David. Behold, a son shall be born to thee who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Amen. You know what David's got? Orders from headquarters, and this is what's got to be done. This is what, and as a matter of fact, the name Solomon is taken from that Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. And God said, I'm going to give you a man of peace that will reign in the days following you. Not you, David. You fought too much. There's too much bloodshed. There's too much going on. But he said, I do want to give a man of peace. And David said, that is going to happen. Amen? Ain't going to be no Adonijah. Ain't going to be no second class. Ain't going to be no other substitute. It's going to be Solomon, because that's the will and the word of God. That was given to David even before Solomon was born. God told him, I'm going to let you have a son, and this is what you're going to name him, and this is what he's going to do. And now David's up against it at his dying days, and he's going to see this last victory in his life. He's going to see it through. I want you to notice this last of all. I want you to notice the worry of Adonijah. All this stuff happens, right? But look in verse number 41. I mean, here's all of those folks go down. They anoint Solomon as the king. And in verse 40, it said, and all the people came up with him. This is with Solomon. And all the people came with him, and people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. This is after they have anointed Solomon. There is a great rejoicing and a great noise. Something happened. And it says, and Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as it had made an end of eating, as they had made an ending. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being an uproar? And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said unto him, come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bring us good tidings. And Jonathan answered and said unto Adonijah, verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. Whoops. Did you know that just busted up their party? And look what it says on down in verse 47. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God, make the name of Solomon better than thy name. Make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. In other words, David's getting ready to die. And thus said the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with a sword. You know, he was planning on doing that to Solomon and maybe his mama. But he said, oh no, this thing's turned and I'm scared. Don't let him, oh, y'all go tell him that I'm begging for my life. Don't kill me. Don't slay me. And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and he bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, go to thine house. The mercy of the new king. Isn't that amazing? Adonijah came to a place where he was worried about it when he realized what happened. Now, I do want you to notice this. Now, the days of David drew nigh, chapter number 2. Days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, and he says, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And then he gives some more commands, if you will, to Solomon as a king and tells him what he should do and how he should handle things. And look in verse number 10. So David slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David. Wow. We've come to the end of that life. David, like every other man that's been, went and slept with his fathers, and he died. David died. The end of the life, and I'm sure, you know, we can read on and you see there's great mourning and there's big festivities and all that kind of stuff that happens at the death of King David. But man, it's just amazing how those things will bring, how God brings those things to a head and to a place where everything is in the place that it needs to be. And God all the while is moving, making the moves that gives us the story of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I mean, that's kind of the end of the story of David. We're gonna leave it there and realize that, you know, we've got David's life is over, and Solomon's taken over, and Solomon's going to be the king. There's going to be some great things, and then there's going to be some tragic things, but maybe that's another time, another study. But we've looked at the life of David, a man after God's own heart, and yet he had problems, and yet he had failures, and yet he had troubles and family stuff, and all, just like all the rest of us. But aren't you glad God took him home one day and let him go home to be with him? Even in all of his frailty and messed up life and everything that he was sometimes, he still got to see the great king. And God used him in a mighty way. Amen. That's what God wants to do with our lives. Brother Ronnie, come on. We're going to sing a verse of a song. If you need to come pray about some things or if there's anything that you need to do this evening in that fashion, well, we'll give you a moment here, and then we'll get ready to have a time of prayer, united prayer with all of us together, if you will, here in just a moment. But all of us, let's stand, if you would, this evening.